Now, DOJ's planned whistleblower program will have a significant impact on individual incentives to report financial misconduct and on corporate decisions on whether or not and calculations about voluntary self-disclosures. The focus of the program is significantly broader than just FCPA violations, extending to other significant financial abuse schemes. Most significantly, DOJ's whistleblower program will expand potential reporting against non-issuer companies, so private companies, and foreign companies that conduct business in the United States and fall within United States jurisdiction.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Well, hello, everyone. We're here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're going to talk about DOJ and its new whistleblower program and also its push on voluntary disclosures. So the Securities and Exchange Commission has gained a lot of well-publicized traction through its formal whistleblower bounty program. And only a small portion of those whistleblower reports involve FCPA anti-bribery allegations, roughly around 10%. Notwithstanding this fact, though, the SEC whistleblower program has been an unquestioned success, resulting in serious prosecutions, derailment of fraudulent schemes that are pretty significant. So building on that, it's not surprising, I think, that the Department of Justice recently announced its plan to create its own whistleblower bounty program. And what's interesting about this is how it fills in the gaps in the current whistleblower program run by the SEC, the CFTC, and others, but also that it is timed and coordinated with voluntary self-disclosure policies and incentives for voluntary self-disclosures as a means to avoid, for example, being the first in the door before a whistleblower could come in and knock, let's say, a company out of a voluntary disclosure problem or issue. So in a recent speech, these sort of new policies came out of a series of speeches that were given on March 7th and March 8th, the first one by Deputy Attorney General DAG, that's the internal nomenclature, Lisa Monaco, and she announced that DOJ would be implementing in the next 90 days a new whistleblower program to reward reporting of criminal misconduct at both public and private companies. And there's one part of the gap, the private companies. In particular, DOJ will encourage reporting of potential violations of the FCPA and the recently enacted Foreign Extortion Prevention Act, the FEPA, and the FCPA. DAG Monaco noted that DOJ will be particularly interested in foreign corruption cases involving non-issuers in violations of the recently enacted FEPA, along with criminal abuses of the U.S. financial system and domestic corruption cases. In a follow-on speech the next day on March 8, 2024, Acting Assistant Attorney General Nicole Argentieri elaborated on DOJ's planned whistleblower bounty program. She explained that the program will be modeled on the successful whistleblower programs, including the SEC's, as well as the CFTC's, the Internal Revenue Service's, and FinCEN's recently enacted whistleblower program as part of the AML Modernization Act. DOJ's program will address existing program gaps to include a direct channel for whistleblower reporting misconduct involving private companies and non-U.S. companies where FCPA jurisdictions can be established. DOJ cited the benefits of a whistleblower program as a complement to its voluntary disclosure program and incentivizes individuals to report misconduct in a timely manner. DOJ's whistleblower program will be implemented by the Criminal Division's Money Laundering and Asset Recovery Section, and the new program will be built around the following basic principles. One, whistleblowers will be paid for truthful information that was previously unknown to the government and who were not themselves involved in the criminal scheme. Two, a financial reward will be paid only after all victims of the reported misconduct have been properly compensated. Three, a whistleblower may be compensated only where there was no existing financial incentive to disclose, such as a QI-TAM, False Claims Act action, or under another federal whistleblower program. So you can't double dip in that sense. And four, a whistleblower will receive payment only when the monetary sanction imposed for the misconduct exceeds a certain threshold. The threshold amount has not been set, and DOJ solicited input on the appropriate amount, whether it's $1 million, like the SEC's program, or it's going to be something greater. Now, DOJ's planned whistleblower program will have a significant impact on individual incentives to report financial misconduct and on corporate decisions on whether or not and calculations about voluntary self-disclosures. The focus of the program is significantly broader than just FCPA violations, extending to other significant financial abuse schemes. Most significantly, DOJ's whistleblower program will expand potential reporting against non-issuer companies, so private companies, and foreign companies that conduct business in the United States and fall within United States jurisdiction. Now, couple this with the fact that DOJ has been on a public relations campaign to push a simple message for corporations. If companies learn of misconduct, companies should disclose such misconduct to earn valuable benefits. The quintessential question remains, should companies disclose misconduct to DOJ, or should the company remediate the misconduct and maintain its silence? Now, I think that this change in the individual whistleblower incentives is going to force companies in certain circumstances to voluntarily disclose in circumstances that they might not otherwise disclose. That's because of the potential that an individual whistleblower could beat or be the first one in the door to DOJ, and that will then bar or preclude the company from earning voluntary self-disclosure credit. So DOJ's campaign is intended to push companies to reconsider this balance by offering new and significant benefits from self-disclosure and cooperation. At the same time, DOJ is articulating a new refocused vision of its white-collar enforcement program, pointing to the twin goals of promoting good corporate citizenship and individual accountability. To this end, DAG Monaco, in her recent speech, highlighted the goal of holding individuals accountable for corporate misconduct and imposing stiffer penalties on corporate recidivists. DOJ employs a mix of carrots and sticks to incentivize companies to build stronger compliance programs that proactively mitigate risks and disclose misconduct to DOJ when appropriate. DAG Monaco underscored the fact that a corporate resolution, quote, will always be more favorable with voluntary self-disclosure, close quote. She specifically cited recent pilot programs in the Southern District of New York and the Northern District of California that extend voluntary self-disclosure benefits to individuals who report new information to DOJ and agree to cooperate against other culpable individuals. As another significant incentive, DAG Monaco cited DOJ's recently adopted mergers and acquisitions safe harbor policy announced in October 2023, which is intended to incentivize companies to report misconduct discovered within 6 months of acquiring a company. Companies that take advantage of such a safe harbor will earn a presumption declination. In addition to the significant benefits from voluntary self-disclosure and the M&A safe harbor, DOJ has offered companies benefits from its compensation, incentives, and clawbacks pilot program, which offers companies a dollar-for-dollar reduction in monetary penalties. To this end, DAG Monaco cited the importance of punishing individual wrongdoers to prevent them from earning bonuses directly the result of illegal conduct. And she pointed to DOJ's aggressive prosecution of corporate recidivists to underscore the stick against corporate misconduct. In addition, DAG Monaco noted that DOJ employed novel penalties against companies that fail to invest in compliance after prior enforcement actions. As examples of this approach, DAG Monaco stated that DOJ insisted that Ericsson, the telecommunications company, enter a guilty plea to FCPA violations after it breached a 2019 deferred prosecution agreement. In addition, she noted that DOJ required Teva to divest itself of a product line for its participation in a price-fixing conspiracy that occurred after Teva's 2016 deferred prosecution agreement for FCPA violations. What's interesting about that case, it was an antitrust division case in terms of the price-fixing conspiracy, but nonetheless applied a DOJ approach and a novel sort of resolution and divestment requirement. Dag Monaco emphasized that DOJ's goal is to motivate companies to step up and report misconduct to the government. In doing so, companies have to recognize the significant benefits resulting from being the first in the door to report misconduct. Corporate calculations of benefits and costs will undergo a significant reevaluation given DOJ's plan to implement a whistleblower reward program. By inducing individuals to report misconduct through financial rewards, DOJ is creating a significant risk for companies that decide to investigate misconduct, remediate misconduct, and then decide not to voluntarily disclose the misconduct to the government. In this situation, companies may face a significant risk that an individual could be the first in the door and report company misconduct. Instead, companies may now face a race to DOJ to beat an individual whistleblower seeking a financial reward from DOJ under the new whistleblower compensation program. Well, an interesting development, one to keep tabs on, and one to take into account in your calculation whenever you run into a situation where you uncover misconduct and decide whether or not to, obviously you have to remediate it, but whether or not to disclose it to the government or document it and then wait and hope that you don't get discovered. I think that this new whistleblower program, as it matures, is going to create real headaches and sort of dislodge the current incentive structure and create a new balance for companies to consider as they navigate the difficult world of voluntary disclosures, when to disclose, when to remediate, and how to address potential misconduct when you find it. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back next week for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Be good.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.